Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Yan Show. Please be sure to tune in Sunday nights from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. Be prepared, folks. We often go into an optional extended third hour. This show advocates for liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Discussions here are unscripted and free-flowing, so sometimes conversations wander off in unpredictable directions. Would you like to call in and share your thoughts and be part of the conversation? The number is 563-999-3698. Again, that is 563-999-3698. Then press number 1 and you'll be added to the queue. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Yan page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you so much for listening, but please sit tight and don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a few minutes to kick off the show.
Hey, yeah, it's me, 2022 Oregon gubernatorial candidate Leon Noble. You know what really grinds my gears? I was excluded from a debate on July 29th because I didn't spend millions of dollars in advertising to win my primary election in Oregon. No, we got it in writing. No pay, no play. The time for playing nice is over. Now it's fire for effect. So even though you owe me nothing, I want you to do me a favor. Jump online, point your browser of choice to setoregonfree.com, click that donate button, and donate to Set Oregon Free, so that our Oregon candidates will have their message heard by the public of Oregon, even if you don't like what we have to say. I'm not asking for your vote, I'm asking for your help. Lend me your voice, and together we will set Oregon free. Paid for by Set Oregon Free, 22239.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Oh, I will be kind.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show. I thank you for finding me tonight. I am planning this special midweek episode to devote it to, rest in peace, Olivia Newton-John. She just passed away on Monday. I'm sure most of you have heard. It's been all over the place. And her passing has definitely, I've felt it. I really felt it, especially Monday night. She's one of my favorite childhood singers, idols. And I'm still grasping with that. She is such a warrior. She was such a warrior battling cancer for like 3 decades. And I remember when it came out that she was battling her third instance of it and it had metastasized. And I was really hoping for the best for her. And she's really been an advocate fighting against cancer, especially natural means, particularly medicinal marijuana. She is really an incredible person. And so for tonight, I planned to play this interview called Hopelessly Devoted to Olivia. And it's from 2018, so it's a few years old, but I found it to be pretty good and a good way to open up the show. And then after the interview is done, then I'm going to be playing DJ here. And I've downloaded and uploaded several of her songs. I did not include, I'm not going to include the ones from Greece. I think everybody, if you haven't seen Greece, then you need to watch it. You need to see it. And most of the songs people know of hers are from Greece, right? Hopelessly Devoted to You, all of that. So I didn't include, so I don't plan to include on those songs. I wanted to try to hit up songs that were both, are both some of my favorite songs, as well as some of them that maybe y'all haven't heard very much, or if at all. And because, you know, she did music for so long, right? And, you know, she did Grease. And then many people don't know that she and John Travolta got together to do a second movie called Two of a Kind, which one of the songs from it has always been my favorite, called Twist of Fate. And that song's always been a favorite of mine. And then, of course, she also did another movie musical called Xanadu. And despite its poor reviews, like literally Xanadu became the inspiration for the Razzie Awards because it was such a flop at the box office. But, of course, I've always been such a fan of her since I was a little girl. I loved it. I loved Xanadu, and I still do. I especially love a lot of the music in it. And so it wasn't, you know, as spectacular or as well done as Grease was, but, you know, Xanadu had, like, such a small budget as well, and a lot of people don't know that in Xanadu, that was Gene Kelly's, like, last performance, doing a movie and stuff, and so it's kind of a special movie in that regard as well, and so I'm going to be covering a lot of different songs tonight. And hopefully if y'all want to call in, this is a tribute to Olivia Newton-John. So I'm going to be avoiding political conversation, even though there's so much going on politically. I wanted to take a break tonight from the politics and do a tribute to Olivia Newton-John. Because like I said, I mean, Grease came out when I was like 5 years old. I was 1978. And so I watched that movie countless times, seriously countless times. It was one of those movies that I always put on, you know.
I'm pretty sure my mom and others in my family probably got really tired of Grease because I watched it so many times. Although my sister probably would be one of the ones that weren't. I mean, she saw the movie like a bazillion times as well when it came out in the theaters. You know, she's my older sister. And so Olivia Newton-John definitely has a special place in my heart. And I didn't really think that I would feel so impacted by it emotionally. You know, she's a singer, a star that I've never met in person. And she passed away. And yet I felt really like it really hit me. And I was like, okay, you know, and I realized that it's not just the loss of her that I'm feeling. It is the loss of such a huge part of my childhood since, you know, I barely even remember life before Olivia Newton-John and Grease and stuff came along. It's just one of those things. And of course she was doing music before she ever did Grease. So it's one of those things that, you know, I'm saddened because I think that she is just one of those artists and one of those people that has just always been a part of my childhood and my memories. And so that is part of what I'm grieving as well. You know, the world lost her, we all lost her. But I don't think I'm the only one out there who is around 50 years old, pretty close to it. But I think if you're around my age, you probably understand how I'm feeling because Olivia Newton-John was around in yours. And maybe she didn't have the same impact on you as she did me, but I know that there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way I do, which that is, of course, comforting as well. Knowing that, you know, trying to understand my feelings about the loss of her and how it goes so much beyond just the loss of a favorite singer. It's a loss of a huge part of my childhood, and Olivia Newton-John has always, you know, been a part of my life until Monday. And so tonight is definitely a tribute to her. And I played that first song, Magic, for a reason. Of all the songs that I downloaded and went through to prepare for the show, I picked Magic because it is one of my favorites. And it's from the movie Xanadu. And it's a song about her basically being a guardian angel. And I think that's what she is now. She is this magical part of my childhood and the childhood of so many others. And now she's going to be somebody's guardian angel. She'll be a bunch of people's guardian angel, I think. And so Magic was the song that I decided to open the show with. And I did put a fair use notice on the description of this episode because I am going to be playing a lot of her songs, and it's fair use. This is a tribute to her. And so just wanted to put that out there to cover me as well. This interview is this hopelessly devoted to Olivia. Well, it's more than just an interview. It's just talking about her life up until 2018, right? And so I'm going to play this. It's about 40 minutes long. And then after that, we're going to get to play in some more of our tunes for the rest of the broadcast, probably. You can feel free to call in, or I have the chat room open as well if you have any special requests. If I don't already have it uploaded, I could. It only takes a few minutes to download a song and then upload it to the switchboard. So if there's any special requests, I'm open to that as well. And so here we are. This is Olivia Newton-John, hopelessly devoted to Olivia, on the show called Sunday Nights. I don't remember what station it was on, but you can look it up on YouTube. It's a YouTube video if you want to watch it, in addition to listening to it. And so that's what I'm going to do. I think this is a pretty good one. I think this will be 40 minutes well spent. And so I hope that you enjoy it as well as I sure do. And then we'll be playing lots of Olivia Newton-John music after this. So stay tuned. Happy listening. And we'll regroup here in 40 minutes.
I hear you have horses.
Yes, I do. I have 2 miniature horses that you're going to meet right now.
I can't wait.
And they're so gorgeous, and their names are so funny. Their names are Harry and Winston.
Olivia Newton-John is showing me around the Santa Barbara ranch she shares with Harry and Winston.
Hi, Harry. Hi, Winnie.
And her husband of 10 years, John Easterling.
I think John maybe should help here. Come on, honey. Because Winnie's upset. Good boy. Okay, Winston. Be nice. Be nice.
All right, come on, Winnie. Let's go.
Come on, Harry. He's a good boy. I don't really ride horses much anymore, but they satisfy my horse love.
Yeah.
They're my pets. Good boy.
Spend time with Olivia at home or just about anywhere else.
You've got to hear the sound of them eating.
And you're never more than a moment or two away.
Can you hear it?
From this. A contagious, confident smile that says everything's all right.
I love that sound.
That's a great soundtrack,
I
isn't
love
it?
Yeah. It.
But this time, it's not.
Come on.
Cancer has returned for a third time. The first, breast cancer in 1992. Then, 5 years ago, cancer was discovered in her shoulder. She's kept that secret from almost everyone. Now, she has a tumour at the base of her spine. Cancer in her back.
Good boys.
You're living with cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you scared?
No, I don't. I don't go there. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I never go there. There are moments. I'm human. So if I allow myself to go there, I could easily create that, you know, big fear. But my husband's always there, and he's always there to support me, and I believe I will win over it. And that's my goal.
Olivia has accomplished another goal, writing an autobiography. Her story of more than half a century as an entertainer. From her biggest hit to her unforgettable role in the film Grease.
You better shape up, 'cause I need a man. They sent John Travolta to my home to talk me into it.
To becoming a mum at 37.
Say hi, Australia.
Hello.
The tabloid rumours.
You were supposed to have had Burt Reynolds' baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and John Travolta's.
I have a slew of kids out there somewhere.
And the mysterious disappearance at sea of her partner of 9 years, Patrick McDermott. Throw in a swag of famous friends.
In show business, there are only a few diamonds.
I didn't know a single man who didn't fall in love with Olivia.
And Olivia's life is one heck of a page-turner.
Hey,
let's just say those trailers were rocking and rolling, baby.
But Olivia is celebrating this, her 70th year, with a man who knew very little about her incredible story before they became a couple.
You have to understand, I'd never seen Grease. Zero Olivia music.
But there are others who know all of Olivia's secrets.
We were talking this morning on the phone with her, and I said, I'm going to tell him everything.
We've lived here for about 22 years now,
22
right?
22 years. Yeah.
Pat Farrah and her songwriting husband, John, are Olivia's closest mates. John wrote many of her biggest hits, and Pat sang with Olivia when they were teenagers.
She's my dearest friend. We've been friends for 54 years now.
54.
And just a wonderful girl and always there for me, always.
John? I met her when she was about 15 on, was it Johnny O'Keefe show, I think.
We're all going on a summer holiday, no more working for a week or two.
We became friends straight away. It wasn't long after that, actually, she went, she won the Sing 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 contest and she went to England. And then I won a radio award and I was sent to England as well. So she picked me up at the airport.
We were young girls. We were having a blast. We were in London in Carnaby Street in Beatle days. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
The swinging 60s.
Yeah, it really was.
And did you teach her to dance?
I did. She didn't move.
I remember.
She was kind of a bit nervous, so she'd just stand there and... and a big eye.
Something's coming, something good.
So I taught her a little thing and off we went.
Something's coming, I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great.
With a click, with a shot.
I love that photo.
Yeah, isn't it great?
So what are you wearing here?
Oh, little velvet muumuus that I made. No, minis, they were mini. And then Olivia used to do the hems.
And the hair?
The hair, we had false hair.
False hair?
Yeah, the false pieces here and then combed ours over the top and the false eyelashes and everything was false in those days.
We were very career motivated and working on our music and Pat was making our clothes and I was hemming them and we had a really fun time.
Yeah, couple of dolly birds on the loose.
That's exactly right.
We played one night, we went out and we're standing on the side of the stage and realised that we're in a strip club and we didn't know there was a woman taking her clothes off in a fish tank. You know, and we got fired the first night. They didn't think we were suitable.
Right. And, you know, sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Yeah, well, that wasn't us.
No.
We were a good girl.
Good.
It's
not
for you. By 1971, Olivia was having success as a solo artist. And with the help of a Bob Dylan song, she released her first international hit.
If not for you, the winter would hold no spring. Couldn't hear a robin sing. I just wouldn't have a clue.
I look like my daughter up there.
You do?
That's what reminds me. Wow, that was my first hit record.
International hit.
Yeah, Bob Dylan's song.
Yeah.
And to think that I didn't like the song then.
Really?
Because I thought of myself as this, you know, balladeer kind of person. Now, of course, I love it. And it turns out that it's my husband John's favourite song. That's cute. I think it's still a nice outfit. It's actually back in fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
I had a successful TV series running in Britain. She came on for one show, and she sang that song, and we did a duet. And everybody loved her. I mean, the public loved her. The camera loved her. The cameramen loved her. I loved her. In the end, she stayed and did 8 shows. I could not get rid of this woman. I didn't want to.
Sir Cliff Richard was one of the UK's biggest stars and took a shining to the young Australian from the moment he met her.
When I think back, Olivia was the sweetest, the most gorgeous, gifted person. And if you asked me to describe her now, I'd have to say she's the sweetest, most gorgeous, gifted person.
Suddenly, I don't need the answers, 'cause I know you're coming.
You can see the love you have for each other.
Oh, we do. And we always will have, I think.
Yeah, he's a very good-looking guy.
Did you ever crush
him? I'm sure I did.
The kiss at the end. Was that ad-libbed? Planned?
There are sometimes accidents, nice accidents that happen. As you move forward, I'm thinking she's going to come forward too. So that can happen.
Olivia's career was up and running. Her next hit...
Let me be there in your morning.
..won her a Grammy for Best Female Artist. She was a star in Australia, the UK, and now the US.
I want to ask you about that first time you hear your song on the radio in America.
Yeah, I was driving in a car or a taxi, and I remember that. I don't remember where I was, but I remember that moment. I'm actually seeing it right now. I think I'm in a cab. I hear it on the radio, and
it's late afternoon at Olivia's Santa Barbara Ranch, and there are chores to do.
They'll come out for the maggots.
It's chook feeding time.
Chook, 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 chook. Where are they all? Chook, 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 chook. I think we've missed them. They've gone to bed. Here they come. Come on, girls.
Her life at home today couldn't be further from this time in her life.
Don't let me down.
London in the 70s. Olivia was part of a pop and rock music revolution. She'd found her groove, singing feel-good ballads and love songs.
I love you. I honestly love you.
Do you have someone in mind when you sing that?
It's always a different story, you know. Every time I sing it, I find something a little bit different in the interpretation, how many ways you could interpret it. And it's just a wonderful song I was lucky to find.
I'm not trying to make you feel uncomfortable.
I would say that I Honestly Love You is probably my favourite one of hers. I don't know what her favourite is. Has she told you what her favourite one is?
That one, pretty much. Yeah.
That one?
Yeah, just because...
See, Olivia and I went like that.
Yeah. Made for each other.
Yes.
Olivia was sharing the charts in the UK with some other very successful Aussie expats, the Bee Gees.
Do you remember seeing that smile for the first time?
Yeah, of course I do.
Yeah.
It's that thing. You sort of go,
yeah.
Who was that? You know, and she was beautiful. So at that time, it was obvious to me that every guy felt the same way, you know. That there were all these wonderful female artists, and then there was Olivia Newton-John.
What's it like to sing a song with her?
Well, it's an extraordinary experience because when we harmonize, we can pretty much nail it because our voices are so much alike, with especially the vibrato.
And there's something special between you two, I think.
There always has been this sort of camaraderie. We just connect. It's hard to explain between a guy and a girl.
This here is Sandy Olsen, and that's Jan and Marty, and this is Rizzo. She just moved here from Sydney, Australia.
How are things down under?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened.
Olivia's breakthrough movie role, playing Sandy in Grease, came in 1978, which almost didn't happen.
You said no to that role originally.
I did.
But they had a secret weapon, didn't they?
They did. They
they sent John Travolta to my home to talk me into it. And, you know, I was worried about everything. I was worried I was too old. I was all of 29.
And you had to act as a
17-year-old, and I was worried about that.
I got a surprise for you.
And what were your first impressions of John Travolta?
Well,
Sandy!
He's a beautiful man, and we had a lovely connection, and he said, you know what, nobody in the film is going to be 18, so you don't have to worry.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I think I'd like to do a screen test. So that's really how it happened, and the screen test worked.
There was chemistry straight away.
Yeah.
Was there a crush on John Travolta? Did anything happen?
Sure. No, we were both involved with other people, but I think that probably made it better.
So you think they had a crush on each other?
Oh, I know.
You know?
Olivia said when she saw his blue eyes, and he said, when I saw your blue eyes, there was a match made in heaven.
Sandy, men are rats. Listen to me. They're fleas on rats.
Dee Dee Conn met Olivia on the set of Grease. She played Frenchie, and they became lifelong friends.
Was there stuff offset that is a little bit risque?
Let's just say those trailers were rockin' and rollin', baby.
Do you have a favourite out of those Grease songs? Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. Probably Hopelessly Devoted, because it was my song.
Yeah. What's the opening line again?
Guess mine is not the first heartbroken.
Oh, I'm trying to get you to sing it.
I know you are.
The biggest surprise of the movie was Olivia's wild makeover.
Tell me about it, Dad.
All of a sudden, this hot mama's walking through the cars, and the... Ooh, who's that? Who's that? Who's that? You know, big hair and whole thing. And it was her!
You suddenly saw in the movie this raunchy woman giving John Travolta the look, and it was fantastic.
I'd never rehearsed it. I never thought about before, what will I do? But as soon as I put on those clothes and they did my hair and makeup, I was there. It was fun. It was so much fun.
I've got to ask about the black pants.
Uh-huh.
Because I know you had to be sewn into those each day.
I did. The zip was broken, so they didn't want to replace it in case they damaged them. So.
She's got a good bod, and she had those lovely long legs. She looked fantastic. I was jealous.
Just so delicious. And it was great, because this was an aspect of her that the public didn't know about. It was very private. And she enjoyed it, and everyone enjoyed it.
And in life, she did that in life, too. That she still remains sweet and everything, but every now and then you see the grit that actually allows her longevity. It's what people enjoy seeing, that difference in people.
Sandy 1 or Sandy 2, who do you most identify with?
That's a hard question. I think every girl has a little bit of each.
When you're on stage and when you've got the crowd, you've got the cameras, is that your happy place?
Singing is my happy place.
Yeah.
To me, that's, you know, that's my soul.
Your soul?
Yeah, I love to sing. I love that song.
Why?
That my cat's called Magic.
There you go.
Magic was just one of Olivia's hits from the movie Xanadu. Her fans loved the disco beats, but the movie was savaged by film critics.
I'd like to talk about the American reviews, which haven't been that good.
I don't want to talk about them. They haven't all been bad. I mean, I think they've been about 50-50.
While filming Xanadu, she met a 20-year-old dancer, Matt Latanzi. Olivia was 31. They fell for each other, and 5 years later, they married.
I guess back in those days, people were marrying quite young.
Mm-hmm.
What took you so long?
I guess I just never met the right person
yeah.
or felt I had, or my career was very important to me. And I was afraid of marriage because so many of my family members were divorced and had multiple divorces. So I was thinking, I'm going to wait till I'm really sure.
Olivia's parents, Irene and Bryn, had divorced when she was still at school.
It's sad. It's sad for all kids.
In Matt Latanzi, she believed she'd found a relationship that would last and the right person to start her own family with.
My clock was ticking for having children. I really wanted to have a baby.
Chloe, you want to say hi?
She's having her Australian television debut.
Say hi, Australia.
Hello.
Chloe Rose Latanzi was born on January 17, 1986.
Describe that moment that you bring Chloe into the world.
Oh, gosh. That was, you know, you have moments in your life that are just, you can't top them.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most wonderful experience. And I remember my reaction to her because she was so beautiful, but she made me laugh.
There have been upsetting times too. Chloe has struggled with multiple cosmetic surgeries and has battled with anorexia. But she has a singing career and the occasional acting role alongside Olivia.
Throw another shark on the barbie, eh?
And I think you are what you are when you're born.
Yeah, Mum's got the magic touch.
And she still makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And she's still beautiful and sensitive and gorgeous.
In 1981, Olivia released her most controversial song. It was considered so risque at the time that it was banned in some US states.
Because, I mean, you know, there's nothing left to talk about unless it's horizontally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rather suggestive.
Compared to what's on now.
Yeah, true.
It's like a lullaby, really.
You
know what I
mean? You had reservations about that song, right?
I did. But I suddenly was freaking out a little bit that I'd gone too far. But by then it was too late.
Couldn't pull the song.
Yeah, I couldn't pull it. And I said, well, we need to do a video and we need to make it about exercise. Yeah.
The video was great.
The video was great.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to get you.
Fell in love all over again, I know.
Cliff Richard!
While Cliff's love for Olivia was just platonic, Olivia was faced with an avalanche of tabloid rumours about affairs with Hollywood's leading men.
Early 80s. Yeah. And I was saying you were supposed to have had Burt Reynolds' baby.
Oh, my goodness. His as well?
Yeah. And John Travolta's.
Oh, my goodness. I have a slew of kids out there somewhere.
But in reality, Olivia was focused on her family and was trying to have another child.
Did you want to have more?
I did, yes, but I wasn't lucky. I'd had a few miscarriages and wasn't sure. And then I got breast cancer the first time, so that really put an end to that dream.
Olivia found a lump in her right breast in 1992. She had a mastectomy and underwent 9 months of debilitating chemo to kill the cancer cells.
First time was a big shock for all of us.
Mm.
But she handled it with so much dignity and she was always so positive. And it seemed to me she was more worried about how her friends were dealing with it than herself. She's always been, I'm going to be fine, Pearlie, I'm fine, don't worry, you know.
Olivia didn't know it then, but the cancer diagnosis was the beginning of what would become perhaps the most important work of her life.
Get yourself a mammogram!
Olivia shared her experience and along the way helped millions. Like Delta Goodrum, who was 18 when she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Olivia wrote her a letter of support.
The letter I got when I was 18 saying, one day you'll see this as a gift. You won't see it right now, but one day you will see that you can be a pillar of strength for other people when you get through this. I was forever grateful and forever loyal to that love that she had shown me.
Olivia won her first battle with cancer and announced she was cancer-free.
Yes, I'm very lucky and I'm healthy and strong.
But at home, there were problems. Her relationship with Matt was falling apart. And after 10 years of marriage, they decided to call it quits.
Divorce was hard for me when it happened because I didn't want to be the one that failed, you know, or I saw it as a failure. I realize now it really isn't a failure, but at the time it felt like that.
Night is dragging her feet.
When I was very, very young, people have told me I look the image of Olivia.
Where did my innocence go?
Which gives you a rough idea what she's going to look like at my age.
Dame Edna could not have been more off the mark. Olivia's beauty, both inside and out, has been there through all the chapters in her eventful life.
Olivia!
The other constant has been her family. Her mum, Irene, and dad, Bryn. Sister, Rona, and brother, Hugh.
They say that I'm the one that pulls everyone together for Christmases and birthdays and traditional things because we weren't really, we were kind of a scattered family. So I think that is important. Baby,
Olivia's dad died from liver cancer in 1992, and her mum, Irene, suffered for many years with painful osteoporosis. She died in 2003, with Olivia at her bedside.
Is it true you sang "I Honestly Love You" to her?
I did.
How was that?
Oh, gosh, that was surreal. I wouldn't be able to put into words what that was like. It was a way of my telling her I loved her in a way that she could receive it. Because the last thing that goes when you're dying is your hearing. And I knew that. And I just wanted her last memory to be my voice and telling her I loved her.
I honestly love you.
Another devastating blow for Olivia came 2 years later. Her boyfriend, cameraman Patrick McDermott, disappeared on a fishing trip.
His keys, wallet, and passport were still on the boat, raising speculation he faked his own death.
They'd been in an on-and-off-again relationship for nearly 9 years.
I love him very much, and as you can imagine, it's an incredibly hard thing to go through, and I just respect that we don't go any further because it's very hard for me to talk about.
To this day, it's a subject that's so traumatic, she refuses to speak publicly about it. Olivia's niece, Toddie Goldsmith, says it was an agonising and confusing time for the whole family.
The Patrick thing was crazy. It was nuts. Suddenly he's gone, and then the whole world, you know, having theories.
If McDermott is alive, he might even be working for a criminal drug cartel.
And Olivia sitting in the middle of that, and it was shocking. And people say, you know, they'd broken up. They're having a separation, but that doesn't change the way you love and care about someone. And they've been together for years. She was really hurt.
Absolutely.
And just because you don't know, but you can only hope that he did drown.
Mm.
I would hate to think that he disappeared.
Olivia found comfort, as she often had, by immersing herself in her work, recording a new album and touring. In the audience at a concert in Florida was an old friend, John Easterling, a rainforest conservationist and herbal medicine entrepreneur.
Olivia music just wasn't my genre of music. And I went down, and it was a beautiful little intimate theater, and the lights went down, and she came out singing. Everyone in the audience was very deeply moved. I mean, you could see people that were tearing up and they were crying, and it was so moving, and I just got it. All I could think of was, that's who she is.
John invited her on a trip to the Amazon, where he introduced her to a mind-altering substance.
Did you give hallucinogenic drugs to our Olivia?
Huh?
Did you give hallucinogenic drugs to our Olivia?
No, I haven't given any drugs at all. You know, I'm a plant medicine guy. When we were in the jungle, we shared some ayahuasca, which is a very potent plant, a very important plant. People have a hard time believing it, but there was no real romantic interest. But after 2 days in the Amazon rainforest, I mean, we just saw each other in a completely different light. You know, she just came across. She's so genuine and sincere. I was just knocked over.
And tell me how you proposed.
Oh, no, don't tell that story.
She proposed, you mean. I was going to propose, and we...
finally admits it. 10 years of marriage, finally.
Drinking. Yeah, you're welcome, darling.
Olivia and John tied the knot in 2008. He joined Olivia in her work to help cancer sufferers, a commitment that had begun soon after her diagnosis with breast cancer in 1992. Together, they enlisted famous friends to hike the Great Wall of China to raise money for her cancer wellness and research centre in Melbourne.
I get a message a few years back saying, "G'day, I'm walking the Wall of China, will you come with me?" And she walked for nearly 3 weeks with flu. She had flu at the time. Saved the little kitten from drowning and held onto it all the way through the walk. We sang every morning together.
Bring all your dreams alive.
Bring all your dreams alive.
And I saw this tough woman.
She's an inspiration to a lot of people. I mean, she raised over $50 million. I know.
It's crazy.
Oh, I know. And it's a beautiful place. Beautiful place.
Camel.
Hello.
Olivia also opened Gaia, a health retreat in Byron Bay. She spent time there with fellow cancer survivor Delta Goodrum.
I remember in Byron just, you know, we went and she was showing me all the land and then we went and we wrote this song. We just wrote about, you know, being right here with you and talking about there's a knowing here between us.
We wrote about ourselves, both of us having been through cancer and helping each other along.
Right here with you. You know, every time we sing, there's something about when I can't even talk about it. There's something about when I look at her. Sorry, I find it so hard to actually open up about it because it's quite personal, actually.
Right here.
Olivia had been cancer-free for more than 2 decades. Then, in April 2013, her sister Rona was diagnosed with an aggressive form of brain cancer. She died 6 weeks later.
That's not long ago, is it, that you lost her?
No.
What do you miss?
Just her and her humour and being able to share family things that nobody else except her sister would understand.
Mm.
I miss her, yeah.
On a drive to visit Rona just before she died, Olivia was in a car accident.
And the seatbelt hit me really hard. And a lump came up and I went to see the doctor and we thought it was something to do with the accident. So anyway, time went on and it turned out to be more than that.
It turned out the lump in her right shoulder was the return of the breast cancer she thought she'd beaten 21 years earlier. Unlike the first time, Olivia chose to keep this cancer discovery secret.
Why did you keep it private?
Because, you know, the first time I talked about it, and the second time I thought, well, I don't really need to share this. It's not something I need to share with people. It's my life, and I just decided to keep it to myself. You're in my house.
It's surreal, isn't it?
Isn't it?
It's really surreal.
It's really lovely.
It really, it's so
it's
nice
lovely.
To see
you.
You
too.
Olivia Newton-John has found a place that reminds her of home.
What is so special about it?
Well, the peace.
Yeah.
There's no neighbours that we can see, so
yes.
It's private.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it has a feeling of Australia about it.
I get that.
When I drove up, look, we have a tin roof.
Yes.
And low mountains that look like the kind of the Dandenong.
Oh, the Dandenong.
But I'm always struck when I go home how much it feels similar.
During our afternoon at the small ranch she shares with John Easterling, Olivia set a cracking pace.
Hi, Dolly! Hi, Dolly, how are you? You say hi to people, lots of people.
Introducing me to all the residents, including her very energetic dog, Raven.
Risky!
Today, Olivia seems to be doing okay.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Oh, that was a bad throw. Bring it here.
In 2013, after her breast cancer returned, she was treated with conventional medicines and natural therapies to boost her immune system.
Woo! Yes! Good girl!
The tumour in her shoulder got smaller, but unbeknown to Olivia, the cancer was still spreading. Last year, a third cancer tumour was found in her lower back.
You put on quite a brave face, but is it hard to always maintain it?
Well, no.
No?
I mean, I have my moments, but I'm not going to have my moments here.
No, of course not. But it upsets me that you're living with cancer, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, that's really sweet of you, sir.
And I think it upsets a lot of Australians too, that our Olivia, is in this fight of her life.
Well, you know, that's lovely, but I'm one of millions in this fight.
Mm.
In this journey.
Yeah.
A lot of people see it as a fight, and that's how, wherever you choose to see it, that's your prerogative. I see it as part of my, wherever you want to call it, I see it as part of my mission, maybe.
How did you treat it?
I'm still treating it, and I'm treating it naturally and doing really well, yeah.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Olivia is treating it with a healthier diet.
Come on, it's okay, Winston.
She's cut sugar out completely, which has caused her to lose a lot of weight. She's undergone radiation treatment and is also taking cannabis oil for the pain.
A lot of cannabis my husband grows for me. In California, it's legal to grow a certain amount of plants for your own medicinal purposes. So he makes me tinctures, it's hard to say, and they help with pain, they help with sleep, and so I'm very lucky that I live in a state where it's legal, and that I have a husband that is a plant medicine man. I mean, how lucky is that? Yeah. And we're trying to, my dream is that in Australia soon, it will be available to all the cancer patients and people going through cancer or any kind of disease that causes pain.
Olivia's family and friends are worried, but at the same time in awe of her bravery and determination.
It's very, very sad and very sad to hear about it again, that what we all thought she'd defeated was still there. And, I just wish her the very best, and I pray for her, and we all do.
I feel disturbed that it's come back, yes. And obviously you can't help but think the worst, but most of the time I think, she thrashed this one before. She's not going to lie down on this one. No, never, never. The fact that she's fought this cancer, the fact that she has survived so much, and still remains that sweet, gorgeous, g'day Cliff, how are you? I love it, and I love her, and always will.
I haven't handled it very well, have I? I've been pretty upset about it at times, but John's still...
Yeah, we every now and again, we drive up and have lunch with her up in Montecito. She always looks, you see, she looks great. Looks
she doesn't complain.
Never complains.
No. I have to get it out of her, you know, to talk to her. Tell me the truth, what's going on,
I just wanted her to get better and be strong, and she is, and she's a thriver and survivor.
She's a thriver?
Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, that's beautiful, isn't it? Those oak trees over there, that magical light.
Wow. A sunny and enduring positivity has surrounded Olivia from the start.
You think the world should see things your way.
from decades ago has become her theme music for the days that lay ahead.
But on those days when nobody wants to know you.
The chorus goes, so on those days when nobody wants to know you and all your dreams keep falling on stony ground, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Don't stop believing, you'll get by.
Don't stop.
Always when I sing it, I have a really good, happy feeling, and that no matter what happens, you've got to keep that positivity and keep on believing.
How do you stop yourself from going down that scared route?
Having a focus of other things and not thinking about yourself all the time. Mm. You know, there are other people out there doing much, much worse than me. And I'm a very privileged person, and I'm very aware of that. And I live in this beautiful place. I have a wonderful husband. I have all the animals that I adore. I have an incredible career. I have nothing really to complain about.
Don't stop believing.
All right, everybody. Thank you for sticking around. And that was the interview and special from 2018 called Olivia Newton-John, hopefully devoted to Olivia, Sunday night. So if you want to watch the video so you can watch everything, then I encourage you to do so. And like I said, I think that was a really good one. And even though it was from 2018, I think it interviewed her, some of her closest friends, and briefly describes, you know, what transpired in her life, and that was back in 2018. I'm debating playing, she did an interview, well, maybe I'll go ahead and play it. I got another 2 hours left, right? So this was an Olivia Newton-John interview called Direct Talk that was just done in February of this year. And so I would imagine it's probably one of the last interviews, one of the few that she did before she passed away on Monday. And so I'm going to go ahead and play it. And then after that, we're going to get to some tunes. Like I said, I probably uploaded more of her tunes than I can possibly play tonight, but that's all right. I like having the option of having a whole mix of different songs. And so I hope that, you know, you're just kicking back, listening, listening to the interviews. Let's honor Olivia Newton-John. Like I said, I think I said at the beginning of the show, I felt the loss pretty strongly on Monday night, mainly because, you know, Olivia Newton-John has been a part of my memory since I was a little girl. You know, there's like no life, but you know, I hardly remember life before Olivia Newton-John and her music, and of course Grease. And so the loss of her also took on a feeling of this loss of this whole period of time in my life that just growing up, part of my childhood is now gone. And so that is why I was inspired to do my midweek special show tonight and devote it to Olivia Newton-John in her honor and as a tribute. And so this interview, Direct Talk from February, is about 14 minutes long. So I'm going to go ahead and play that. And then we're going to start playing some of her tunes, some of my favorites, some of the tunes that maybe you haven't heard of, you know, some of the ones that didn't top the charts perhaps, but are also still some of my favorites. And so here we go with this interview from February of this year, Direct Talk, Olivia Newton-John.
pop singer legend Olivia Newton-John was born in England and raised in Australia. She has won 4 Grammy Awards and has sold more than 100 million albums. In 2021, she was awarded the Order of the Rising Sun by the Japanese government in recognition of her contribution to the development of music, culture, and friendship. The pop sensation has been diagnosed with cancer several times and is still fighting the disease. Yet she established the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Wellness and Research Center in Melbourne, Australia. She also continues her charity activities to support other cancer patients. We take a look at her journey as an artist and her drive behind her philanthropic activities as a cancer survivor.
Oh, Olivia, thank you very much for joining us. It's really an honor to speak to you in person. You received the Order of Rising Sun Award in Japan. When you first received this, how did you feel?
I opened an envelope and read this letter, and I was like, what? I was totally surprised and greatly honored, of course, because it's one of your highest honors. So I feel very, very grateful. And I've always loved Japan, and I've been there many, many times and loved the culture and love the food and the people, and I love your civility to each other and your privacy, and yeah, I love your country. It's beautiful.
2015, you came to Fukushima to be one of the first musical artists to perform here for Pray for Fukushima. You also have visited Japan over 10 times. How is Japan different when you come over here, your experiences here, compared to like visiting other countries?
I was brought up with pretty strict parents who were, you know, about manners and politeness and, you know, respecting others' space and all. And so I felt very much at home in Japan because that is your culture. I remember the first time I went to Japan, I saw people wearing masks, which today everyone understands. But at the time, I didn't know what it was. But I had such respect for the individual that decided it was his responsibility not to... You spread it around. I thought that was great. And now we're all doing it.
That's right. That's right.
Olivia started playing in bands when she was 14 years old after winning an audition show. She made her debut as a singer in 1966 in England, where she was born and raised. Her 1974 release, I Honestly Love You, reached number one in the U.S. The song won her a Grammy Award for Best Record and Best Female Vocal Performance in 1978. Her performance in the hit musical film Grease established her as a worldwide star.
You've experienced so many great things, including four-time Grammy winner, multi-platinum sensation, one of the best musicians of all times. When Physical came out in the very beginning, and of course you released it again very recently, where did that concept come from? Why do you think it became such a hit?
Well, I think, you know, the double entendre of Let's Get Physical, one, and then the workout thing was just starting to build, you know, it was becoming a phase. So I think those two things met at the right time. And the song was, it was a great song. It was very catchy and people still work out to it. I think it was a clever idea.
What was the most difficult thing about your success in the United States?
It's not really difficult. I feel very lucky to be successful, but if I had to look at the difficulties that all people in the public eye suffer is lack of privacy, people invading your space, gossip, which I hate. Those are the things I don't like, and I didn't like when my daughter was young. I didn't like them trying to get pictures and all that kind of thing, but apart from that, I'm just very grateful. I really am, because not many people get to have a career of like 50 years or whatever it is.
Do you practice gratitude?
Oh, yes, all the time. I mean, how can you not? I love nature, so for me, that is, you know, where I feel my best, and I will sometimes meditate, pray, whatever I feel at that time.
This is a message towards people who are wanting to become stars these days. What would you do that would be different today now reflecting on what you did in the past?
It's such a different world. I don't know that I could compare it. You know, I was living in Melbourne, Australia, and I went into a talent contest and, like The Voice, I guess, won the talent contest. The prize was a trip to London, and I started working in clubs in London, and one of my dear friends came over. We formed a double act. I mean, my life, I don't think it could be the same now. Maybe I could go on The Voice, I guess, but it was a different era. And I worked in some really dingy, horrible nightclubs with Pat and Olivia, we were for a while. And so I gained all that experience. And I think it's really important if you're aiming at success, that you do the groundwork so that you're ready, you know, because it can be very difficult.
Did that value of hard work come from your parents?
Oh, yes. Yes, I think so. My mother was the daughter of a Nobel Prize winning scientist, Max Born. And so she was brought up with a lot of discipline. My dad was Welsh. He won a scholarship to Cambridge and was a master in German. And so, yeah, they wanted me to go to university, get a degree. My mother said, what are you going to do if you don't get a degree? And I'd started singing by then. So the year that they wanted me to go to college, one of my high school teachers, who I'm ever grateful for, I asked him, what should I do? I was being asked to do a television show, a local one in Melbourne, or should I finish my schooling? And he said, you know, if you're going to be concentrating or distracted by your singing, then you're not going to make it the last year. So he gave me permission. It's really quite wonderful.
Your opinion on social network today, I know it's different from the record days.
I enjoy it sometimes. I have some apps of animals and funny things that happen, and I enjoy it, and it helps me connect with my friends and family. What I don't like is the bullying, and I don't like lies being put out there. And, you know, we just need to respect each other, and I think that's the danger here. And
it's strange because SNS, you're supposed to connect people, but it seems like we're distancing each other these days more than connecting, would you say?
Yeah. I think it's the world situation, but we should be healing each other. You know, like anything, used wisely, it's a good thing.
Olivia has been diagnosed with cancer 3 times and is still battling the disease. The first time was in 1992 when she was 44. It was early stage breast cancer, but she was able to overcome the disease. Since then, she has been involved in breast cancer awareness activities based on her own experience. She established the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Wellness and Research Center in Melbourne, Australia, which provides the latest treatments. She has also reached out to many by holding fundraisers for research and releasing an album dedicated to cancer patients.
You were diagnosed with breast cancer at the same time, same period your father had passed. Instead of letting the odds beat you, you decided to take a proactive stance. What led you to work on this specific journey?
Well, the Cancer Foundation and the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Wellness Center in Melbourne are two separate things. The foundation I formed because I've been having such great relief from cannabis, and I would like it to be available to people, and it's not available all over the world. People are dying from opiates every day, but people do not die from cannabis that can help with their pain just as much. So I'm trying, my husband and I want to develop ways to make that happen. So we're starting our first, we're of course sponsoring scientists to do the studies, but it's a very exciting time for us.
You have this natural feeling of not people going through suffering. What would you say Olivia Newton-John as a person was before becoming Olivia Newton-John when she was small?
My sister used to call me Pollyanna because I always saw the good side of things, and she'd say, what's wrong with you? That's not a nice person. I said, well, everyone has their, you know, their bad days or something. So I guess I was always positive. I've always loved animals. My parents said that I sang from the minute that I could speak. So it's been a wonderful ride.
You know, we all can't be positive every day. How do you turn around a down day?
Oh, no, of course we can't. And I'm human. I'm not positive all the time. You know, when you're going through breast cancer for many years and you go through a lot of things, you really learn grace and what other people are suffering. I think that's why I wanted to help other people, because I've been there, and I don't want other people to have to go through what I have gone through, if that's possible at all. So that's what inspires me.
Olivia lives in the suburbs of Santa Barbara, California, surrounded by her animals and nature. She has been living all over the world before her current home. Due to the pandemic, she has been stuck in one place for the past 2 years, but she says that life is very fresh and fun.
How are you spending your time during the pandemic?
I'm living. I'm actually, you know what? I'm hanging out, and I never understood what hanging out was until the pandemic. And I've got to spend a lot. I've been at home, so I know every nook and cranny of my house, which I didn't know before. And I've really loved watching the seasons change, and I have a bird kind of sanctuary, and new kinds of birds come in each season. It's been, for me, a very healing process.
Hi, everyone. I just want you to know that I'm not slacking off just because we're in quarantine. I am actually cleaning up the horse manure here. I'm on duty. So this will keep you fit, I'm telling you. Do about 8 of these, which I just did, and it'll keep you really fit. Anyway, sending love to you all. Bye.
It is helping us rethink our values and what's really important, which is not getting stuff, it's, you know, having love and people around you that you care about. And I think that's, I think it's been a lesson for a lot of people. And I feel incredibly sorry, of course, for people who are suffering, and it's dreadful. But I feel very lucky.
What is your favorite affirmation, words you live by?
This too will pass.
This too will pass. Wow, that almost sounds Buddhist.
Well, I've probably got a bit of that. Yes, well, but I believe that's true. I mean, life is never the same. We're moving and changing all the time. You just got to go with the flow if you can. Don't resist, because it'll take you down with you.
Many people might be watching this, or maybe be watching this program, who are in a similar situation, surviving cancer, surviving COVID, for that matter. If you were to say something to them, what would it be?
Probably the expression that is my favorite, this too will pass. And, you know, we have the inner strength, we just have to trust it. And I send out my good wishes and healing light to anyone who's suffering. It's worse, it's terrible, I know it.
When people ask you, what's the legacy of Olivia Newton-John, what would you like that to be?
One word, positivity, I guess. But I'd like to think that I made a difference in helping people heal from cancer.
What's your goal from now?
My goal from now? Oh, my gosh. I'm just grateful for every day. And working on, you know, my foundation with my husband, and enjoying my life and my daughter and my animals and friends. And, yeah, it's enough.
All right. Welcome back. That was Direct Talk, Olivia Newton-John interview that was just done in February of this year. And I thought it was a really great one to play, because, number one, it's, you know, probably one of the last ones that she did, and it was such a good one, especially talking about her legacy, what she wants her legacy to be. And I guess apparently like a year ago or something, she sold off a lot of her property and stuff like that to devote to her cancer center. And so that's kind of a cool thing. And so, yeah, she's going to be missed. She's going to be very, very missed. It's still hard for me to wrap my brain around, you know, that there is no more Olivia Newton-John coming in the future. All we have now is the past. All we have now is past interviews in her music, and there will be no more coming from Olivia Newton-John, which is kind of sad to think. So now it's music time. And again, you know, this show I'm devoting to a tribute of Olivia Newton-John, and let's play some tunes. And so I uploaded, the first one I'm going to play is her first single, which was mentioned in the original interview that I played earlier, Till You Say You'll Be Mine. That was her first single that she did in 1966. And I was born in 1973. So, you know, this is a, you know, so she did this well before I was ever born. And so I'm going to kick off the Olivia Newton-John music, play a DJ here, playing her first single. Here we go. That's so 60s, isn't it? You could tell it's kind of old. The quality of it wasn't that great. But, hey, that was on her own music channel. So a lot of these songs that I'm playing tonight, I got from her own YouTube music channel, figuring that's probably the best place to go to get decent recordings of her. So that was so 60s sounding, wasn't it? And so next up, I'm going to play If Not For You by Olivia Newton-John. If Not For You, this is one of her singles from 1971.
Not for you, babe, I couldn't even find the door. I couldn't even see the floor. I'd be sad and blue if not for you. If not for you, babe, then I could see me wide awake. Today would surely have to break. It would not be new.
Such a pretty song. So that was If Not For You in 1971. And so moving on, this is a song that came out when I was born, 1973, Let Me Be There. And it is one of my favorite songs. I've always loved this song, Let Me Be There. I'm going to go ahead and play it from 1973.
Catch you when you fall.
I think that a lot of people don't really realize that before Olivia Newton-John became a pop star, she actually really, like, she was a country music person. She's done all kinds of different genres. But people don't really realize that, you know, her first award she ever won was for country music, you know, female best, female country music artist. I think that was a Grammy or something. and so, and then of course, you know, time goes on and she started getting more into pop rock, stuff like that later on. So moving on, the next song I'm going to play is If You Love Me, Let Me Know. This has also been a favorite of mine. This is from 1974. If You Love Me, Let Me Know. Olivia Newton-John, I just think that she captures so much about love, heartbreak, relationships, and it's captured in her music. And so hopefully if you're out there listening, you're enjoying the tunes now, now that we're into the music half of the show today, the tribute to Olivia Newton-John. So if you love me, let me know. 1974. Here goes. Country, so awesome. And maybe you have heard it before, I don't know, but a lot of people haven't, or maybe a lot of people have totally forgotten, like, oh yeah, that is Olivia Newton-John. So this is another one from 1974 called Country Girl. Again, this didn't a lot of these songs didn't, you know, top the charts and become familiar with everybody, but a lot of these songs are familiar to me, so I'm kind of going semi chronological order of some of the songs that she put out, just to be able to tell, just to really see, like, from where she started, moving on into some of the more recent songs. So this is another one from 1974, Country Girl. Here we go. I love the beat to that song. You know, just the whole beat, the whole rhythm. I love that song, Country Girl. So that was 1974. And then next up is Please, Mr. Please, 1975. Now, this song is, it is such a heartbreak song, which I think most of us can totally relate to. After a breakup and you're still feeling that sting, especially when it's a breakup with somebody that you've been with for a while, you know, somebody that you truly loved. And so Please, Mr. Please is just one of those songs that really conveys that feeling of heartbreak and the reminders. You know, when, after a breakup and the little things that remind you of that person. And it kind of seems sometimes that just when you're over that sting, then something comes back and reminds you of it, and that sting is back. And so Please, Mr. Please is one of my favorites for that reason. it is one of the more popular ones, but hey, maybe you guys haven't heard it. And you probably should. So here we go. Please, Mr. Please, Olivia Newton-John, 1975.
In the corner of the bar, there stands a jukebox with the best of country music, old and new. You can hear your five selections for a quarter, and somebody else's songs when yours are through. I got good Kentucky whiskey on the counter, and my friends around to help me ease the pain. Till some button-pushing cowboy plays that love song, and here I am just missing you again. Please, Mr. Please, don't play B-17. It was our song, it was his song, but it's over. Please, Mr. Please, if you know what I mean, I don't ever want to hear that song again. If I had a dime for every time I held you, though you're far away, we'll be right back.
So that was Please, Mr. Please, and you can see what I mean about it being such a impactful song about, you know, those little things that trigger your memories after a breakup. And, you know, Please, Mr. Please, don't play B-17. It was our song. It was his song. Now it's over. I can totally relate. You know, who doesn't, right? Where out of nowhere, you know, it's your song. And then you just can't stomach it for a while afterwards, you know, because that was your song. It was our song, that kind of thing. Let's see. Oops, and I just pressed played. I got a little punchy there and played the wrong one. I was going to replay it again. So, yeah, that was Please, Mr. Please, 1975. And let's see, what's next up? Trying to go in chronological order of the songs that I uploaded. And I think, let's see. Covered 1975, just scrolling. So now we're going to go to 1978, A Little More Love. This is another song. This is such a catchy song that's always been a favorite of mine as well. Listened to it many, many times, A Little More Love. And such a classic Olivia Newton-John song. Her voice is so sweet. And so emotional. I love it. So here we go. A Little More Love.
No.
Definitely a song I know I can relate to. How many people can relate to that song? Somebody that you're really, really into. And they're just playing you, you know. So it's a song about just, you know, being, you know, falling in love with somebody that's playing you. And this feeling like, oh, will a little more love make it right? Will a little more love make everything right, make this other person love you as much as you love them. And it gets you nowhere. And so eventually you just keep getting yourself nowhere in that relationship. Who can relate, right? A lot of us can, I think. And so that was in 1978. Moving on, Deeper Than the Night. Definitely a good love song. And you can tell, you know, when she gets to the late 70s, she's starting to get into more of her rock genre. And Deeper Than the Night, 1979, is definitely an example of that as well. So here we go. So that was Deeper Than the Night. And then here's another one from 1979, Totally Hot, which the song is the title song of her album, Totally Hot, 1979. And here we go.
Totally.
Totally Hot, 1979. So you can start to hear that late 70s, her getting more into rock and roll. That's such a 1979-ish type of tune. And so then we're going to get into 1980. I have a couple of songs from 1980. And the first one I'm going to play, let's see, when did... I think this was around the time Xanadu came out. Xanadu came out in 1980. And so the next couple songs are from that. Although I didn't upload Xanadu itself, I could. That would be another one. I actually should. But so the first one I'm going to play from 1980, which was in Xanadu, is Olivia Newton-John with ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, Suspended in Time.
Sure, I
I love that song. It's so dreamy. I think most of the soundtrack that she did on Xanadu is very dreamy type of music, which I loved about it. Again, Xanadu got totally flopped at the box office. It got terrible reviews, and yet I can't help it. I've always been a fan, Olivia Newton-John, and I was a kid, and that whole angelic persona. I know I've watched that movie many times. Grease, probably countless times, of course. But I've seen Xanadu a pretty good chunk of times, too. So that was suspended in time. And the next song is also part of the soundtrack from Xanadu, done in 1980, called Suddenly. Another really sweet song that's just nice. You can just kick back and relax and listen to. And so I'm going to go ahead and play it. Olivia Newton-John and Cliff Richard, the song Suddenly, 1980 from Xanadu. such a pretty song. I love it. Definitely reflective of like a new love to me, how it feels to be newly in love. Suddenly the wheels are in motion and I'm ready to sail any ocean. Suddenly I don't need the answers because I'm ready to take all my chances with you. Such a great song for, you know, a new love. When you're willing to be vulnerable, willing to do anything for that person. This is such a pretty song. And so, again, that was from Xanadu. And if you've never watched Xanadu, most of you out there have probably watched Grease, like me, a million times. But maybe you never watched Xanadu, maybe because of the bad reviews. And, yes, was it the greatest movie on the planet? No. I mean, in a lot of ways, no. But it's still a favorite. And if you're a fan of Olivia Newton-John or are now becoming a fan of Olivia Newton-John from my playing all these songs, go ahead and watch the movie. You know, prepare yourself. It's not going to be the greatest movie in the world. but it is a very, you know, fanciful movie musical that I've always loved. And again, if you're aware of Gene Kelly, it was one of his last performances that he did, especially in the movies. It was his last. And so I'm going to go ahead and play Whenever You're Away From Me. That is the song that Olivia Newton-John did with Gene Kelly in the movie. And Whenever You're Away From Me, it's also got a nice little groovy beat to it that's hard not to get into. So here we go. Whenever You're Away From Me, 1980 from Xanadu with Gene Kelly, Olivia Newton-John.
No other face could take you off my mind. You're so refined.
How can you not like that song? It's so catchy. You have that little bit of saxophone in there. You know, if you watch the movie, you know, it definitely has that kind of late 40s kind of feel to it, you know, jazzy, a little swingy, yet also sweet, you know, whenever you're away from me, with the lyrics. You know, it's really pretty cool. Whenever you're away from me, wherever you go, you're never far away from me, I want you to know. I only have to close my eyes, dear, and suddenly I'm where you are. You better never stray, because I'll never be far away. such a catchy little love tune there. And so then, last but not least, from 1980, Xanadu is the song, Xanadu. And, of course, it's always been a favorite of mine as well. It's another song that's hard not to like. And so here we go with Xanadu. That song, it's so catchy. It's just tempting to play it again. Now that I'm here, now that you're near. Yeah, it's such a catchy song. So I might actually have to watch Xanadu again sometimes. Actually, it's inspiring me to watch that movie. Again, for the I don't know how many of the time. such a great song. I mean, you get past the kind of, you know, the movie could have been made better, like I said. But for a movie musical, there's definitely been worse that have been made. I think it got a bad rap, honestly. But the soundtrack to it is phenomenal. And that was just a taste of some of what's in the top soundtrack. Four songs from it out of many. And so I am scrolling through to find the next song. Of course, I already played Magic at the beginning of the show. That was also 1980 from Xanadu. And that's what I opened the show with. Tempting to play that one again too, but maybe I'll wrap up the show with the song Magic, just like how I started it. Maybe that's a good idea too, just because I'm just a big fan of that song, right? So as I'm scrolling here, I just don't want to skip much of anything. In chronological order, in 1981 is when Physical came out, which, you know, you heard part of that song. I think a lot of people know Physical. It was banned here, I believe, in Utah and a couple other states that refused to play it because it was too risque. And just like in the interview that I played, that Direct Talk interview, I loved her comment, like, you know, compared to today, it's like a lullaby. So it kind of made me laugh. But yeah, you think of the lyrics that are out there today, it's Physical is just so tame in comparison. So I'm going to go ahead and play Physical. Here we go.
You know what I
Yeah, so that was the song that, you know, got banned here in the United States because it was just too much. And then it's kind of funny how once you did the music video, like, you knew the song wasn't about going to the gym and getting exercise, but for the video not be banned everywhere, I guess, she turned it into, and that's when the aerobics, you know, the aerobics trend started. And so that was the idea for the music video of it. And so that was 1981. And so next up is a song she did in 1982 called Make a Move on Me. And here we go. Another great one. It's a catchy tune, right? And you know where it's going, right? You know, you're kind of flirting and you're kind of going through the groove and now it's time to make the move, right? So that was Make a Move on Me from 1982. And let's see, what else do I got? And we'll eventually be getting into several more of my favorites here. I'm trying to go in chronological order, and so I believe the next one is 1983, Twist of Fate, which I talked about earlier. And Twist of Fate, I guess, I haven't watched this latest season of Stranger Things, but apparently Twist of Fate is featured in one of the episodes in this past, in this current season of Stranger Things. And so now I'm curious to watch it even more. I will. I mean, I've watched all of them. I just haven't re-signed up for Netflix yet, and I haven't decided that it's worth it yet to pay for it. But I eventually will, so I can watch the latest season of Stranger Things. So this is Twist of Fate, and this is from the movie Two of a Kind. And it's a cute romance movie with a sort of spiritual element. It's more comedy than anything. But if you haven't seen it, go ahead and watch it. Twist of Fate is like the main song from the movie Two of a Kind. And that's where Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta got together again and did another movie together. And I don't really want to talk too much about the movie because I want you to see it. But it is mostly kind of comedic. And yet it's a love story, and it's about how, so the characters, Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta play, they're both kind of, they've done wrong, and it's Judgment Day is coming up. So God has decided that he's going to flood the earth again unless the angels show him a reason not to. And so Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta's characters, the angels are following them, and they do things to make sure that they kind of get together and then try to encourage them to fall in love and show God that they're an example of a reason not to flood the earth. And so that's the basic premise of the movie, put it that way. And I just think that the lyrics to this song are kind of, I don't have the words right now, but now that Olivia Newton-John is gone, when you listen to this song and you listen to the lyrics, I think you'll see what I mean about Twist of Fate. And so it's an upbeat song, and it's always been one of my favorites, and I've always loved the lyrics. So when you listen to this, just kind of keep that in mind. It's a little bit, it has a little bit of a sting in my heart now that she's gone. So here we go. Twist of Fate, Olivia Newton-John, from the movie Two of a Kind, 1983. Here we go. So yeah, I love that song. I love that song. I just can't help it. But you can see what I mean about the lyrics. Like, you know, this was, of course, before she was ever diagnosed with cancer. And I think that some of the lyrics are kind of oddly reflective, like getting a second chance. Do we deserve a second chance? How did we fall into this circumstance? We weren't so straight and narrow. This is much more than we deserve. A higher voice is called the tune. Two hearts that lost the beat will now resume. The gift of life extension by divine intervention. It's got to be a strange twist of fate, telling me that heaven can wait, telling me to get it right this time. And when you think about her battles with cancer, you know, she survived it the first time, went for 20 years. She had her second chance. And then she got it again. And so, again, she had to battle it. And again, she had to survive it. And so it's just, you know, it's got to be a strange twist of fate telling me that heaven can wait, telling me to get it right this time. It's kind of foretelling in a way, but I've always loved that song. I love the lyrics to it. So again, if you want to watch Two of a Kind, where Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta got together again for another movie, watch it. And I can't believe we only have 17 or so minutes left. And several songs that I have in the queue here. So instead of going in chronological order, I want to make sure to play a couple of songs before we run out of time here with 17 minutes, just to make sure that I play them. This one I like of hers from 1988, called The Rumor. In 1988, it's definitely one that I wanted to hit up before the show ends. So here we go, The Rumor, Olivia Newton-John, 1988.
Yeah.
catchy little tune there. And, of course, you know, on Blog Talk, the audio isn't the greatest for playing these songs, which I apologize. But the rumor, I love the premise of it in the chorus. You know, once the rumor spreads, the truth is just a thing of the past. And isn't that true, right? The rumors seem to be accepted as truth more than actual facts. And truth is understood to be the truth, right? And so we have 12 minutes left. And I knew I uploaded more songs than I would ever be able to play. So we got 12 minutes, and squeeze in a couple more songs, I think. Let's see, this next one that I'm going to play, this is one that it's always been one of my favorites. It is probably, like, the best breakup song. And I've related to it in my own life and in past relationships. It's a great breakup song. It's called Not Gonna Be the One. It's from 1992. I have listened to it many, many times. It's just one of those songs where you'll hear the lyrics, and it's very catchy, very big breakup song. Kind of, it's all about like having the strength, you know, you're, especially when you're dating a player. And refusing to be like a, you know, refusing, not going to be the one to be a backup, you know, to be a number two, to a fallback, you know, to fall back on. And, yeah, so I want to play this on for sure before we run out of time. And I hope that you like it as much as me. Again, Not Going to Be the One from 1992. Awesome song. Here we go. Yeah, so that one I have felt a couple of times in my life. The lyrics hold so true, and I think so many of us can relate with the lyrics. Here we are in a room full of broken hearts, lovers once, but in the end, we never really had a chance. You wanted to be free. Now that you're lonely, you want me back again, but I'm not going to be the one that you call. Not going to take the fall for all your indecision. Not going to put my back to the wall. Not going to take the fall for all the pain you've given. Me and you, we were a dream that never could come true. In time, you'll see that our love was never really meant to be. And if you discover you need a lover, someone to break your fall, I'm not going to be the one that you call. Not going to take the fall for all your indecision. Not going to put my back to the wall. Not going to take the fall for all the pain you've given. You wanted to be free. Now that you're lonely, you want me at your arm. And it goes back into the chorus. So yeah, who's been there, right? If you're dating, you know, you've been with like a commitment phobe. That's what I relate to, like a commitment phobe. Like, yeah, they really like you, but, you know, they're still wanting to go out and play the field. And then when things don't work out, suddenly they want to come back to you. They want to come back and get in your good graces again. And it's like a yo-yo. How many of us have been in that kind of yo-yo relationship like that? And finally, you put your foot down and go, no, I'm not going to be the one that you call, man. You know, leave me alone. We're done. And so I just relate to that so much. And we only have 5 minutes left of the show. And so there are some other songs that I could play. But I wanted to play Magic again because, again, it's what I started the show with. So I'm going to wrap up the show with the same song, Magic, from 1980. One of the songs that was on Xanadu, and I just love the song. It's so just, I think, a great song to both begin and end this journey of a show that has been honoring Olivia Newton-John. So here we go with Magic. And then I know we're going to go into overtime because it's 4 minutes, 29 seconds long, and we only got about 4 minutes left of the show. So it's going to get cut off on the live broadcast, but oh well. And then make sure to stay tuned on Sunday night for my regular show. I don't have a guest lined up, so it's going to be a free-for-all. Call in. Let's talk. And I'll kind of wing it. I'm sure I'll have a clip or two to play, but on my Sunday shows, those of you that know me, I usually try to keep them to be shorter clips between like 5 and 10 minutes, shorter clips that then open up discussion. And so I don't like to play too many clips on my Sunday show. And I like to open it up for people to call in and talk and chit-chat. And definitely it's been a busy week this week in politics and elsewhere. So I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about on Sunday. So with that, I'm going to end the show with the song Magic. And I really hope Olivia Newton-John is free of any pain. I'm sure she was welcomed into heaven and in God's arms. And I'm going to miss her. I really am, y'all. I'm going to miss her. Like I said, it's been kind of an emotional ride the last couple of days since I heard the news that she passed. So, like I said, it's part of my childhood that is now gone. So bless you, Olivia Newton-John. Rest in peace. And keep being that guardian angel for me and so many others out there that love you.